doing a 25th, a little bit about service, and this is going to be somewhat disconnected tonight, I understand that, but I hope it'll be a blessing to you, because I want to challenge you a little bit about some of the opportunities for service that we have. Now, there are a number of times when people will come to the church and they'll say, well, you know, I like it in a small church better, but it just seems like there's more opportunities for service. I've never been able to understand that statement. There are scores more opportunities for service in a church the size of ours than there could ever be in a church of 20, 30, 40, 50 people. I think what people mean by that, and please don't misunderstand me, and I'm not trying to be mean-spirited about it, but I think what people mean by that is there are fewer opportunities in a church this size for leadership, okay, or positions of service in the pulpit, things like that. There are many opportunities for service. In fact, the other pastors and I are swamped. You know, today we were talking about it, that, you know, this is just unbelievable. And every now and then, you know, we'll try to schedule a little relief for ourselves. And even that, you know, we end up feeling guilty about it. A couple of weeks ago, we had for over 2 months planned a fishing trip where the three of us were going to go fishing. And we did. And we caught some real nice fish, by the way. I haven't been bragging about that enough. But they were just real nice, okay? And we've been enjoying them. But we decided we'd go fishing. A few weeks after we had already made the commitment, made our down payment on the boat and all the other things that we were going to do, some of the men felt we should schedule a work day. Boy, then we had a dilemma. What should we do? We wanted to be here for the work day, but we also had this other commitment. We were going to lose our money there. So after prayerful consideration, we went fishing. Okay? But we really felt guilty about it because, you know, we had the work day that day. So for those of you that were out there slaving on that work day, we appreciate you and we admire you, and we'll try not to let that happen again. Because if there's going to be a work day out there, we'll be out there beside you, or some of us will anyway. And that just didn't work out exactly like we hoped it would. But every now and then, we just need some time to get away and talk a little bit and plan and make sure that we all still in fellowship with each other and that kind of thing. And we haven't been getting enough of those opportunities in the last year, at least. And we're going to try to do more of those in the year ahead. We will schedule fellowship meetings. Most recently, the FBF meeting Brother Curtis and I went to up in Greensboro, North Carolina. I told the other guys 6 months before, I want us all to go to this meeting. And then, of course, it came time to go to the meeting, and there were a dozen other things that had to be done that week. And so I went, and Brother Curtis and I, Brother Capshaw, went up together. It was a great blessing, but the other men needed to be there if there was any way possible. And today, the situation came up where I had to go and counsel with some folks on short notice, and Pastor Dixon needed to go with me. It was a situation where I had to have someone else with me. And so he was in the other room in there working away furiously at the word processor. And I says, can you drop everything you're doing for the next hour? And he looked at me and started laughing like I was kidding, you know. And I said, I'm serious. And he said, you can't be. And I said, yeah, I am. He said, okay. And so, you know, everything had to get rolled back, you know, a few days because the deadline at 4:30 wasn't going to be met and all the rest of it. And so we just dropped everything and went out and did that. Those kinds of things happen from time to time. Sometimes I wonder in the ministry if you know, we're not too busy. I know we're too busy. But one of the things that we're too busy doing is we're opening up opportunities for other people. Now, we are past the time when I need to be sharing some of these opportunities with you and asking you to be praying about taking over some of these things. Now, again, it's always with a certain amount of fear and trepidation that I share these opportunities, because sometimes other people who are already too busy are the first to volunteer. Or sometimes folks will volunteer to do it, but they don't want to do it the way it has to be done. They want to do it the way they think it ought to be done, which might not necessarily be the right way. You follow what I'm saying? So whenever you ask the volunteers, you're always taking a big chance. You see, you're taking a big risk because you might get them. and then you have to be careful. So I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about service and a spirit of service and some opportunities, specific opportunities that I have been opening up for others, and I really need you to take them, okay? Because I got to get out of some of these things. I really do. In order for me to have the time that I need for study and preparation for the messages and prayer time and maintenance of sanity and these other things, I need to turn some of these things over to some other people. But in order to turn them over to some other people, you've got to be willing to do it the way it needs to be done, which means you're going to have to commit the time to it, and you're going to have to be willing to do it the way I want it done. Understand? Now, I don't mean to be unkind or selfish about that and egotistical, but I'm saying that a servant is somebody who does it the way the one who gave him the job wants it done. If I agree to do something for someone else, I am agreeing to do it the way they want it done. And if you agree to do something, then you're agreeing to do it the way that the person that gave you the job wants it done. And, you know, sometimes folks will accept responsibilities, and then they'll want to do it their way. And it takes the person more time to try to tell them how to do it than it would take if they just did it themselves. That's not help. Okay? It's more helpful if somebody will say, anything you want me to do, I'll do it. Now, there are a lot of folks from time to time who will say, anything, you just name it. You just tell me what it is and I'll do it. Okay? This. What else? Name something else. You know, I really can't do that. And then there are a number of folks who from time to time will say, you just call on me. If you need me, you call on me. And you call on them 3 or 4 times and they really aren't available. You see? So, it's very easy to say that you want to help. It's very difficult to follow through. Very difficult. Easy to make a commitment, not easy to keep a commitment. Easy to make a promise, not easy to keep a promise. Easy to create a debt, not easy to pay a debt. Okay? So I want you to understand that if you commit yourself to doing something, you ought to mean it. Now, I want you to look with me at several verses here. Judges 5:2. Judges 5:2 gives us a statement about willingness and service. This is the song of Deborah and Barak. You know that story. Now, they had conquered the enemies of the Lord. And their song here of thanksgiving in Judges 5 begins, "Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves." When they willingly offered themselves. I believe sometimes there is such a thing as unwilling service. Unwilling offering. I know there's such a thing because I have been involved in it. There have been times when I've made commitments and I wished I could have got out of those things. Oh, why did I get myself into this? If I ever get myself out of this. I can remember when my family and I first moved here to Greenville. I mean, we came here on total faith. I know it was total faith because we didn't use any common sense or, you know, anything else involved in the thing. I thought I knew what God wanted us to do. God had called us to go to school, right? God had called us to prepare for His service, right? Sure. So we moved to Greenville, bought a house, had a little part-time job, lived on our savings till it was gone. Both of us enrolled in school full-time. My wife was carrying Becky at the time. But both of our kids in Christian school, and we lived almost 10 miles from campus. And I had real trouble, you know, with my attitude, especially when it came to Vespers and things like that. You know? I just thought, you know, I got enough to do without, you know, the Sunday afternoon opera here. You know, we gotta have some relief. And so, you know, and I found out after a while that they really meant for you to go too. You know, and I won't go into that. But at any rate, the point I'm making is that there are times when we make commitments and we just think, oh Lord, you know, how could I have done this? And about halfway through that first semester that we were in Greenville, I was praying that kind of prayer. Lord, you know, I thought I knew what you want me to do, but I'm seeing now at least one thing that you don't ever want me to do again. And if you'll help me survive this, I'll never do this again. And I didn't. But I've done it in other ways, of course. So there are times when we get into a place of service where we've made a commitment and we've just got to see it through. That's all there is to it. I don't necessarily think it's spiritual to go ahead and try to do something in the flesh or do something that you really cannot do simply because you said you would. I think you have to come sometimes to a place of honesty with yourself and say, look, I have overcommitted myself and you're just going to have to excuse me. I'm very sorry. And just bear the shame and the reproach and then, you know, learn from it. But there is such a thing as unwilling service. And what this is talking about here is willing service. And Deborah and Barak praised the Lord because they had willingly offered themselves. Take a look now at Nehemiah 11:2. Nehemiah 11:2. Nehemiah is a tremendous chapter, a tremendous book. And as we get into this building program next year, I can imagine that we'll be doing some preaching from the book of Nehemiah. It says in verse 1 of that chapter, "The rulers of the people dwelt in Jerusalem. The rest of the people also cast lots to bring 1 of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city, and 9 parts to dwell in other cities." So they're deciding how they're going to populate or repopulate the land. It says, "And the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell in Jerusalem." I'll go. You want me? I'll volunteer. Now, you know, there's a thing about volunteering that you don't have to volunteer for too many things before you get kind of skeptical about it. When I was in the service, they used to come in and say, Who's got a driver's license? You know, and four or five guys would raise their hands for driver's license, and they'd take you to KP. Driver's license had nothing to do with the job. They just wanted you to get your hand up. And if your hand went up, you did the work. And, you know, how many of you guys would like to have tomorrow off? Six guys. Okay, come with me. And, you know, what about tomorrow off? Nobody said you were going to have tomorrow off. You'd like to have it off? Fine. Get out there and get to work. You know, and this is the way they did us, you see. Now, after so much of that kind of thing, you get tired of volunteering for things after a while. In fact, eye contact is the last thing you want to make. Because that's almost like raising your hands, like going to an auction. You know, you scratch your ear and you're committed, you see. Now, this attitude that these folks here had was one of willing offering. I'll do it. I'll do it. And because of the fact that as committed Christians, we get real tired of people being unwilling to make themselves available for things, sometimes we have a tendency to make ourselves available for too many things. I think I do that. I make myself available for too many things. Now, one of the reasons that I open up some of these opportunities, as I said, is because I want to share some of them with you. Therefore, catch on, okay? And when I've opened up some of these opportunities, it's time for you to step in and say, any way I can help? Now, you got to be patient. You got to be understanding. With Al Goodwin here, what a tremendous example of what I'm talking about this is. I started with this chaplaincy at the Greenville City Police Department over a year ago. Well, right out about a year ago, I guess. Now, it's taken a long, long time to get things rolling with the chaplaincy there. Tremendous ministry is opening up. Tremendous opportunities. I've heard from several of our officers that are going to be here on Sunday. And I was talking with Willie Harper, one of our lieutenants, and he said, hey, I'm going to be with you on Sunday. I said, great, that's good. For 3 years, I have served with the Greenville County Human Relations Commission. For two of those years, we had a young secretary whose name was Janice Harper. That's not related to Willie. Janice left the Human Relations Commission and is now a dispatcher for the county sheriff's department and the police department. She works in the radio room down there. I didn't know that until one morning at 7 o'clock. I was down doing roll call for the officers, and there sat Janice. I said, well, I didn't know you were working here. Yeah, she's working here. Got a card from her today. She said, thank you so much for the invitation. I'll be there Sunday. Both of the people whose names I just mentioned are black people. You know, one of the problems that fundamental churches have had in the South for years is being able to have some kind of an effective outreach to other races. Now, we've got the door open, folks. Now, we better be careful that we don't let it get slammed in our faces. We better be careful that we don't lose this opportunity. Now, there are some folks that I've been sowing that seed and tilling that ground with one of those people for nearly 3 years now. Incidentally, one of the things that happened as a result of the Human Relations Commission, this year I was elected chairman of the thing, and I've served as chairman of it all year long. The first thing that happened after I became chairman is the executive director resigned. So we had to spend the whole first 2 months trying to hire a new one. We did get a lady who's a God-fearing lady and a member of a Baptist church here in town. She hired a secretary. The secretary's name is Nell. Nell, when I first met her, she says, I know you. I used to listen to you on the radio every day. Well, I went in to see the folks in there yesterday to drop off a piece of correspondence. And I went in and I said, Nell, did you know we're back on the radio? You are. She said, I listened. She said, I heard you say that. I listened for it Sunday. I didn't hear it. I said, well, it's not Sunday. It's Monday through Friday. Oh, got out a 3x5 card, wrote down the times, wrote down the call sign, the whole thing. She says, I'll listen to it. That's a tremendous opportunity that we're having. Nell's also black. Now, these are some tremendous ways that we're reaching our community and reaching out to these people. But on the other hand, we're seeing that we need more willing service among some of our people. Now, one of the ways that you can help is by being super friendly to these folks on Sunday. I'm telling you, folks, I have spent a lot of time, shed some tears, driven a lot of miles, stayed up a lot of hours to build these relationships with these people. You better take care of me on Sunday. Okay, you hear what I'm saying? If these folks come to this church and they feel anything other than the same way I feel about them, don't you let me find out about it, okay? Now, what am I saying to you? I'm saying I want you to treat these people the same way I've been treating them. I want you to be patient with them. I want you to love them. I want you to be friendly with them. I want you to be respectful to them. I want you to help me. We could have 100 visitors Sunday. Now, again, I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I'm just saying Won't you bring 100 sometime? You see what I'm saying? Let's all work together on this thing. And if you don't bring 100, then you help me with my 100. I can't spend all the time as necessary with these folks. Young Mark Batson, who's a training officer, he's a fellow that got right with God as a result of our Christmas letter to the officers, not the city department. Mark and I have had lunch together. We've talked about a number of things. His dad was a fundamental Baptist preacher up in North Carolina, died of a heart attack about 5 years ago. Mark's been bitter to the Lord ever since, until he got his heart right with the Lord. Mark's wife's in the hospital, had surgery this morning. Now, we're working together, trying to help, trying to encourage. I'm not sure if he'll be able to be here Sunday morning or not. He wants to be, but it depends on how his wife is doing. I hope he will be able to. I want you to be able to meet him. I want to be able to tell him, and maybe some of you, if you meet him, meet Mark. He may be with the color guard. Go up to him and say, we've been praying for you, if you've been praying for him. That'll encourage his heart. As far as I know, he's not in church anywhere. One of our missionaries has a brother who is a city policeman who's not in church. We want to try to encourage him. One of our supported missionaries. He needs to be back in church. He lives 2 blocks from our new property. You see the kind of connections that we're getting here, folks? Now look, it takes a lot of time to build these kinds of relationships. Now we've got to work on these together. When these folks come to our church Sunday, I don't want anybody giving anybody else the impression that this is a Bob Jones chapel. You hear me? I'm not kidding you. This is not a Bob Jones chapel. This is a local Baptist church. Greenville's my home. I'm a Greenvillian by choice. I got sand in my shoes. Okay? I've been down here long enough to where this is where I plan to stay. Now, I want you to make these folks feel welcome. By the same token, I don't want you to jump all over them like gangbusters. Now, look, if a person's thirsty, don't hit them in the face with a fire hose. Okay? You hear what I'm saying? Don't go overboard. Don't act like a Great Dane puppy. Okay? You know? I mean, now be careful. Let's have some graciousness. Let's have some balance, and let's really welcome these folks. Now, that's an attitude of service. We are developing a chaplaincy down here at the Green. I didn't even tell you about Al Goodwin. I got off on something else, didn't I? All right? I've been talking about this chaplaincy thing, and I said, look, some folks need to open up some other things. I got a call. Did I tell you about getting a call from Tom Johnson today, the Malden police chief? I didn't? Okay. Whatever. I'll tell you again. All right. Tom Johnson, the Malden police chief, called me today, and he said, I really appreciate your invitation. I can't be there, but I'm going to send 2 officers, and he named them, a captain and a lieutenant. Hey, that's tremendous. They'll be here in uniform Sunday morning. Now, I'm not sure if Malden has a chaplain or not. I don't think they do. Greer did not have a chaplain either until Al Goodwin went after the job and got it. Guess who they called to find out if this guy was trustworthy? They called the Greenville chaplain. Actually, they called the Greenville chief of police. He said, well, yeah, I'm not sure. Let me put you in touch with my chaplain. And so the chief of police in Greer called me and he said, now you're chaplain of the city, is that right? Yes, sir. He said, well, I got a statement here from this fellow named Al Goodwin. Want to know something about him? I said, he's a great guy. I said, you couldn't possibly do any better. I think you ought to go for it. And just encourage their hearts. Now, that's tremendous. I talked to Doug Baker, who's Southern Baptist pastor, Pastor Bria First Baptist out of here, who's been chaplain of the sheriff's department for 11 years, said that he tried for years to get 6 other volunteers to work with him and never could get a single commitment. People would say, oh, yeah, we'd like to do it. Well, you know, they want to ride around the police cars and all that kind of stuff, get shoot a gun once in a while, but they don't want to do the work. Okay? If you can't do the work, then, you know, you can't do the job. And the work is not all that glamorous, folks. It's, you know, phone calls in the middle of the night and all the rest of it. And getting involved in some of the stresses that those people have to bear. Well, Al went for that job, and Al's patient. Al's got some sense about him. Now, if you're going to be a police chaplain, and Al knows this, you can't treat somebody like a captive audience. I mean, when he's sitting in there, he's got to watch and be careful. His life may be on the line. It's always on the line. And you can't get in the car with a fella and decide that you want to go through your 3 points in a poem like some windsucking North Carolina preacher. You just can't do that. You've got to be careful and patient and wait until they start asking you some questions. And then you've got to have some answers. And then when they want to quit talking about it, you've got to quit talking about it. Why? Because he's working, that's why. I'm not all that fond of folks interrupting people on the assembly line to witness to them. I don't think that's spiritual, you see. So you got to be respectful of that. You got to be sensitive. I mean, you know, if you start working in a ministry of folks like that, you know, those fellows don't use the kind of language that we use here in this building. Every now and then they'll be given to some language that'll peel the paint off the door. I'm telling you. And what are you going to do when that happens? Apply into righteous indignation, preach your little sermon on that. You better have a lot of grace is what you better have. It takes a tremendous amount of grace to be able to put up that kind of thing. You may find yourself in some bars from time to time. You've got to have some grace if you're going to get in that situation. We're talking about real people with real needs here, though, folks. And sometimes, you heard the expression about being so heavenly minded, you know earthly good. This is what we're talking about. Getting so far out of touch with real people that you can't ever reach them. Or, you know, when you walk through the room, there's this aroma of sanctimoniousness. Then, you know, people start thinning out. It was that way at first when I went down there to the department. I'd go into a room and, you know, people said, chapel, you know, this kind of stuff. But now then, we'll get in there and we'll start talking a little bit. Next thing you know, a few folks start gathering around. We'll start talking about a few things. And we'll have a few little ideas that we'll share and we'll encourage folks a little bit. And could be somebody's got a problem. He'll stick around for a few minutes. Say, hey, can I talk to you? And we'll go and we'll chat with him just for a few minutes. Now, I don't know of anybody particularly that I have definitely directly led to the Lord. I know of several folks who have gotten their hearts right with the Lord and a lot of folks that are definitely opened up as a result of this. A tremendous ministry. But I'll tell you, we've been really working on that. Now, that's just one opportunity. And the reason I'm talking about it so much is because we definitely need some help in that area. We are setting up a program in this chaplaincy where we can have 6 more volunteer chaplains in the city of Greenville within 10 years. Now, that could be a life calling for somebody. You could go ahead and work your job the rest of your life and take this as your ministry and probably have more influence for Christ than some pastors of a local church would have. Tremendous opportunity. But you can't just jump into it. You got to be patient. You got to wait. 25th of this month, I got to go take a physical. I'm not real sure I can pass. I've been working on it. I got to run 1.5 miles in 13 minutes. I know I can do that. I got to bench press 180 pounds. I know I cannot do that. I might be able to, I don't know. I got to be able to get it down safely. That's the thing I'm concerned about. Okay? That's like I need some help letting it go. You remember that old story? But there's a few other little items that I got to do, and I'm not real sure that I'm going to be able to hack that. If I don't, I'll have to wait a few months. But I'm hoping that I'll be able to pass this thing, go ahead and take this next step, and spend a little more time with the recruits and things like that, to where I get some training, keep from getting somebody hurt, especially me. Okay, but folks, what I'm telling you about is you have to be willing to pay a price. Now, I'm committed to that ministry. That's something that I really want to do. I've been able to reach more people outside the fundamentalist subculture in which we move in that ministry than anything else we've ever gotten started in. But at the same time, there's a lot of other things. I've served with the Human Relations Commission for 3 years, as I said. I really need to step down from that. I asked Dick Herdklotz about this a couple of weeks ago, and I said, you know, I'm really thinking about getting off this thing. And he says, don't leave it until you find somebody to take your place. Now, we need somebody in District 19 who knows how to walk a tightrope. Okay? I'm not talking about a literal tightrope. I'm talking about a social tightrope. The Human Relations Commission was started in the late 60s to facilitate the desegregation of the public schools. That was its primary function. During the 70s, it lost its identity a little bit. Now it's right on the cutting edge. It has a tremendous potential for being a good organization in Greenville County for working things together. I've proposed some legislation to the county about combining the county and city councils together in this one commission. In other words, that'd be the first thing, the only thing we know of where the city and the county are working together. Now, you've got to be very careful. They are also given to promotion of the Martin Luther King holiday. You know, we've just kind of let that die on the vine while I've been in leadership. There could be a lot of potential for ecumenical activity. I have no interest whatsoever in that. In fact, I'm against it. There are a lot of things that can be done positively that ought to be done without getting into those other areas. If it ever gets to the place where we have to get into those areas, we have a meeting coming up the 18th of this month. Bill Gibson, who's the national chairman of the NAACP, will be at that meeting. I'll be presiding over the meeting. He's made some very unkind statements about Bob Jones University recently. I hope he doesn't make any of them in that meeting, because I don't want to have a confrontation over that kind of an issue. But if it comes up, there will be, is what I'm saying. So you pray for me about it, okay? What we're trying to say is you've got to be able to walk a tightrope. Not just anybody can do that. I'm not trying to promote myself. I'm saying I need somebody to take that position. My term is up in June. There's a possibility that they're going to ask me to stay on to try to get this thing going with the city. I'd like to turn that over to somebody else. That is a tremendous opportunity. Let me show you the kind of ministry opportunities you can have with that. When I first got on this thing and had served for a couple of months, we had a young lady who was our executive director whose name was Juanita Cooper. Let me show you how God works. Juanita came to my office one day and she started talking to me about it. And I asked her about her background and everything like that. And she told me, I said, "Where are you from, Juanita?" She says, "Well, I'm from a little town down in Georgia you probably never heard of." I said, "Well, try me." She says, "Well, a little place called Jefferson." I said, "Yeah, Jefferson. My dad pastored a Methodist church there for 4 years. Said he owns a house there in Jefferson. He's going to retire there." "Oh, come on." I said, "Yeah, really." So my sister went to Jefferson High School, graduated in whenever it was, 72. "She did." She said, "I graduated in 73. "What was her name?" I told her, Nancy Vaughn. She said, "You know, I used to sit by her in the band." Now you think about it. We started talking. After that, immediate camaraderie. She said to me, "Where'd you go to school?" "Juanita's Black." I said, "Went to Bob Jones." She said, "You did?" And gave me that look as if to say, "What's a nice guy like you doing going to school like that?" And she says, "Well, you know," she says, "things aren't always what you hear, are they?" She says, "I went over to that place here a couple weeks ago to pick up some vocab cards from the bookstore. And the printer told me that's the best place to get them." She says, "I met another Black girl there on campus." She says, "Those folks were so friendly to me. And they were just so gracious." She says, "It was nothing like I've heard." I couldn't resist it. I said, "You know, Juanita, that's what prejudice really is, isn't it? It's making up your mind on something before you really know what's going on." She said, "Yeah, I guess you're right." And before the conversation was over, I said, "Well, Juanita, how long have you been in Greenville?" She says, "Well, I've been here going on a year." I said, "Are you in church yet?" She said, "No, I'm not." She says, "I know I ought to be." I said, "Well, come visit with us." She never did. But every time I saw her after that, she'd come up to me and she said, "I visited over here last week," or "I went to this church last week." She says, "I'm looking." And after about 2 months, she came to me and she says, "I've joined a church," and she told me the church. Now, she'll hear the gospel there, and she'll get some good fellowship there. It's not where I'd prefer that she go, but she's in church. Now, you know what I'm saying? The fact that she felt a sense of accountability to me to be in church. That's good. That's good influence. That's the kind of influence we want to have. Now, you hear me. You know what a lot of people would have done? You know what I might have done 10, 15 years ago? I would have told her what was wrong with the church she joined. Never get anywhere like that. Never get anywhere like that. Got to be careful. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Hey, being in that church is better than not being in church. And if I'll keep encouraging her and keep her ear and keep working with her, eventually she might make some better moves. Guess where Juanita works now, by the way? She works for the South Carolina Department of Vocational Rehabilitation. You say, what does that mean? We got a family here in our church that's going to voc rehab practically every week. I got a person who lives in my home, my mother-in-law, who has regular contact with voc rehab. I'm trying to show you folks, if you'll take advantage of these opportunities that God opens for you, you'll find there are people there with prepared hearts that you can reach. And the connections will just astound you. Unbelievable. I need somebody to take that position. Somebody who lives in District 19. Somebody who has the ability to be very careful in the way they say things. Somebody who's not given to inflammatory statements or extreme positions, but somebody who can patiently, lovingly work with people. I'm afraid if I don't find somebody, I'm going to end up staying on the thing. Okay? And I just can't do it. I have got to be free to go open some other opportunities. There's a tremendous ministry opportunity for somebody. You came to this town, you bought you a house, you want to be a Greenville person. But you know, and everybody else that knows, you know that you're just a Bob Jones student. Okay? You want to break out of that, and you want to be a local person, here's an opportunity if you live in District 19. Some ministry opportunities with the chaplaincy, some ministry opportunities with the Human Relations Commission. About 3.5 years ago, Brother Jim Starnes started telling me about the Civil Air Patrol. I said, "Well, what is that?" I didn't even know what it was. I'd been in the Air Force for 7 years, but I didn't know there was such a thing as a Civil Air Patrol. That's the Air Force Auxiliary. They have three basic missions. They do search and rescue or emergency services. When a plane goes down the mountains, they go up, fly around and look for it, try to find it. The cadets go down on the ground and walk and try to find the wreckage and so on. They have a cadet program, which is very much like scouts, only better. It's much more comprehensive, prepares for the leadership of tomorrow in the military and so on. And the third thing is aerospace education. Very, very interesting. I'm interested in aviation. I had an interest in that. Went out there and visited. The first night I got out there, I'll never forget that. First night I got out there, Colonel Lickerson came to me, and Jim introduced me as a preacher. And he said, "Preacher, hey, we need a chaplain." He said, just like that. And so I thought, really, you know. And so next thing you know, I was a chaplain of the Civil Air Patrol. Now, we've had some good opportunities there for counseling. Several folks that we've been able to talk to on several occasions showed a film out there last month that was a powerful gospel message. And good opportunities there. I was not able to be there at a meeting where we were going to show the film to the cadets because I had another meeting for another thing I served with down in Columbia. I needed somebody who could work with me on that thing to go and show that film to the cadets. But I, you know, said, okay, here's the film. You all just show it. They showed the first 10 minutes of it, and then other things came up and shut it off. Very frustrating. So I'm going to go show it to the cadets this month. Okay? And they'll get to see it. But there's an opportunity somebody might want to get involved in. Very patient. Jack Buttram. Some of you know Jack Buttram, who is well-known in this area. He has been a member of Civil Air Patrol for a little over a year. And it's very patient. You know, we had to sit through a lot of boring meetings to be able to get to know some of these fellows. But now I see them out in the community, and I talk to them from time to time. And there's some more fellows that I know. Some people that we're able to have contact with and be able to influence for the Lord. Now, you can't always go in and sit down. Look, I'm telling you, folks, I'm for door knocking. But door knocking is not very effective. It never has been very effective, and it's not nearly as effective now as it was 10 years ago. There are better ways. But you got to be careful. Because the more seed you put in the ground, the more plants are going to come up. And if you're like me, I've been putting so much seed in the ground for the last 2 or 3 years. Now, I can't keep it cut. You see? It's like my grass. I mean, I went and put fertilizer on my grass a few weeks ago, and now I can't keep it cut. And that's the same way opportunities are after a while. They start coming in, and you think, good night. You know, I got to kill them or something, poison them, you know, or something just to kind of hold them back. So many opportunities. There's an opportunity with that. The Lord has just recently opened up some other opportunities for me. Again, I'm not here just to tell you all the things I'm involved in tonight, but there, how many of you got the Hidden Treasure Report in your FaithWorks paper? All right, you already know what I'm talking about then. We were recently chosen to work with the South Carolina Association of Christian Schools in a leadership role there. Now, that's an important, important opportunity right there. Tremendous platform from which to proclaim special education. We've been writing a little booklet, which is basically the text of the speech we gave at the legislators' breakfast down there back in February. I got to tell you another one about that now, by the way. Okay? Remember the Sunday morning when I talked to you about the importance of writing letters to the editor and polishing them and working on them? Remember that? Remember who was in the service that day? Representative Mike Fair was here that day. You know the reason he was here that day? Because he'd been at the legislators' breakfast. Okay? And he came that one time, and then he came back another time. And then I mentioned that thing about writing letters to the editor. I got a call. Now, let me just illustrate the kind of service I'm talking about here. I got a call from Mike Fair that week. He said, I'm writing an op-ed piece for the paper. Will you help me? He said, I'm going to take you seriously now. He said, I need some grammar, some help with the grammar, some help with the phrasing. I said, Mike, I'd be more than happy to help you. And so he sent me a copy of it. He was in Columbia, and I started working on it. I made a number of changes and put some things together, rearranged things just a little bit. All I did was editorial work. It was entirely his work. Just did a little editorial stuff. Tried to communicate it to him on the phone, but there were so many changes we couldn't do it. He says, well, he says, I've got to get this to Susan Clary at the Green Piedmont tomorrow afternoon. I said, let me see what we can do. Elaine stayed late that night. We typed up a draft, two copies. We had one of them ready to be delivered, which she hand-delivered to the Greenville Piedmont to Susan Clary Simmons the next day. I called up Lance Victor, who drives to Fort Jackson every single day and comes home every single night. He was already in the bed, talked to one of his kids, and I says, I've got something that needs to be at such and such a motel at 7 o'clock in the morning. So I said, if there's any problem, if you can't do it, call me. I took it over about midnight that night, and I left it over there at Lance's house. 7 o'clock the next morning, the desk clerk knocked on Mike Fair's door and handed him that article. That's what I'm talking about, folks. It was in the newspaper 2 weeks ago. You might have seen it. I wrote a letter in support of Mike Fair, which is in the paper the next Sunday. I got a letter from him just this week thanking me for our work on that. Folks, that's influence. Now, you know what the article was about? The article was a very powerful argument for doing away with opposite-sex visitation in the University of South Carolina campus dormitories. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that kind of thing is important. I think we ought to be having a part in that. But in order to have a part in that, you've got to pay your dues.
You got to pay your dues. You got to be willing to pay the price. No way in the world could we have had that kind of influence if Lance hadn't been willing to hand carry that thing all the way to Columbia and take it to that motel, which is several miles out of his way. No way could we have done it if Elaine wasn't willing to stay late that night and put that thing together. No way could we have done it if a whole number of things hadn't come together the way they were supposed to come together. But they did. And we had a tremendous influence for God's righteousness. I'm thankful about that. And I think we ought to be doing more of that kind of thing. You can too. But folks, you got to be willing to pay a price. You got to be careful. Now, there's a difference, and I've said this before. You don't always go around, you know, to the captain of the team saying, let me bat, let me bat, let me bat. But if you ever get the bat in your hands, you better knock a home run. You see what I'm saying? And when you knock a home run, next thing you know, somebody picked you for their team. If you keep on knocking home runs after a while, you might pick a team of your own. You see what I'm saying? Now, that's the way ministry opportunities come. People who have a willing heart, whatever I can do. Sometimes you don't realize what some little act of service can contribute to a total package. And here are people, you know, somebody asks you to type something, and you type it up, and then they never use it. And you say, well, if that's just the way they're going to treat my thing, well, just forget it. You don't understand that you are a part of a whole thing that, unless it comes together, it may never succeed. And the simple thing that you do may be the one little wheel in the machine that causes everything else to operate. It might not work the way you think it's going to work. But if you'll just be patient, if you'll just wait. I've told you tonight about some ways that we've been able to have some influence. But folks, I haven't talked to you about the hours and hours and hours and hours of other things that have just been boring and never have accomplished anything and we never used it or we wrote it and put it in a drawer and things like that. Every now and then something will open up and an opportunity will be there. I need some help with some of these things. I need some help with this Human Relations Commission. I can't even think of all the things that I need help with right now. But I'm telling you, well, let me just mention a few more, okay? By Friday, I've got to talk to Benji Taylor's mom and give her some suggestions about what to do for Benji. We enrolled Benji in our school almost 6 years ago. Benji finished the academic program, got himself a graduation ring, put it on his finger, and has been going around just as proud as a possum eating persimmons. I mean, he's just grinning all over himself about that ring. I take him with me when I go on these meetings. He sings, gives his testimony, plays the offertory. Well, I haven't had a lot of meetings recently. I'm kind of thankful for that in a way. But, it's just unbelievable sometimes. Because my wife had 4 meetings, 4 different churches last week. And she'd be going to Indianapolis this weekend. But sometimes it's a relief not to have those kinds of pressures. But when I go, I take the boys with me. And they're able to have a ministry. Well, I haven't gone for a while. Benji sits at home. He's bored to death. We were able to work him a little bit at our school. Spend a little time with him. Let him do some janitorial work. Let him do some cleaning and things like this. But they live almost in Woodruff. And it just got to the place where they couldn't drive over here just to let him work 2 hours a day. If we could find a way to keep him busy all day, he needs a lot of supervision. He's forgetful. He'll start a job and forget how he's doing it. He has to work with somebody. You can't leave him alone on a job. He'll forget what he's supposed to do or hurt himself or break something or something like that. But Benji is a precious, precious kid. When I was taking him and Marco and Daniel and who else? Did I take Joe? I don't think I took Joe. Daniel and Marco and Benji, I think I took to one of my meetings in North Carolina. And the 3 kids all sang and we gave testimonies and things like that. And had a meeting and that church now supports our school. When we were going on the way up there, we were playing 20 questions. And I realized then how difficult it is for some of these kids to understand abstractions. And we'd say animal, mineral, or vegetable. Or they'd say that. I'd say mineral. And the next thing you know, they'd be guessing a tree. And they'd say, so abstraction is sometimes kind of hard for them to understand. We need somebody who can just take Benji under their wing. I got a call from a couple that's down in Florida, Eldon May and his wife. You remember they were here, you know, talking about the Jim's and Jules Ranch? They've lost their lease on that property down there. They wrote to me and said, could you use a dishwasher and maybe a handyman? You know, we're fully supported. We got our motor home. We'd like to have a ministry to the handicapped, like to be involved someplace. Well, if I ask those folks to come up here, you know, I got to have something for them to do. If they were here now, I could find them something to do. I could give them this little boy and say, here, you know, keep him busy and spend some time with him. But, you know, sometimes when folks volunteer to come and work, if you're not careful, it ends up being more work for you. You see what I'm saying? I got to find something for him to do and take care of him and put him somewhere. I got to find something for Benji to do. Pray with me about that. You may have some suggestions. Now, at the same time, I'm telling you, if you say to me, sure, Pastor, I'll help you, don't you be coming back 2 days later and say, hey, I didn't know what I was getting into. I'm telling you right now, you don't know what you're getting into. I'm already in it. I'm like the dog that climbed the tree, you know, had to, okay?
But you know, God called us to do this. Now I'm asking you, if you want to help out in this thing, there's a ministry. We've got a young teenage boy that needs to be learning some kind of a skill. Doesn't need to really be paid anything, just needs to have some time spent with him. His dad's out trying to make a living, and his mom's busy, and he's just sitting around the house bored watching TV, and that's not good for him. What good does it do to take this boy through our school? We've got to get this land, and we've got to get a boarding program going, and we've got to get some vocational trades, and get that greenhouse and some of those other things so those kids can do some things like that. But until we do that, we got to find something to do with these young folks. Steve Stewarton would be with us right now if we had some kind of a vocational program to put him through. Marco has got to get into something like that soon. I've got to find a place for Marco by the 19th of this month. The Roberts have had him for 4 years. They agreed when we brought him up here that they would take care of him during the year and that they would minister to him and help him out, and they expected fully to have a little bit of relief during the summers and the school vacations and things like that. And I've kept putting them off and putting them off and putting them off. And you see, you can't just burn folks out like that. You know, we're going to get to the place that are the Roberts here tonight? I don't want to embarrass them. Okay, well, let me just tell you, I don't see them. You can't just consume people like that. You got to give them a break. Now, I got five people. One of my children's handicapped. My disabled mother-in-law lives with us, and we got animals all over the house and everything else. Now, I'll take Marco in if I have to, but I just don't see how in the world I can do that to my wife. Marco was sent here by God for us to have that responsibility. I know I took it on. Now, I'm asking you, help. Okay? There's a ministry. Folks, it's a ministry. Now, Marco needs a lot of time. He needs somebody that will hug on him a lot. He needs somebody that will talk to him. I sat him down the other day in my office. I talked to him for about 15, 20 minutes. I talked to him about going to Guatemala and getting down there and seeing the circumstances that he was going to live in, and talked to him about not knowing what the future was going to hold, but just pleading with him, Marco, you've got to give your heart to God. Buddy, if you don't give your heart to God, all this stuff that we're doing is not going to amount to anything. Just spent a little bit of time, and he came in a little bit later on. He says, you know, I think I'm going to make it. He says, I feel like I'm not going to do as bad anymore. He just had a little encouragement there. You see, he needs somebody that will do that. Now, the Roberts are doing that. But at the same time, there's a need there for a change. We've got to find a place to put him this summer. Now, folks, if you say, well, we'll take him. Well, you might volunteer, and I might say, well, thank you, but I can't do it. It won't work for various reasons. Don't be hurt if you do that. And don't keep volunteering for the next thing. If this one won't work out, there may be something right behind it. You understand? There are half a dozen kids that we could have enrolled in our school the last 2 years if I'd had some place to put them. We've got to build these buildings. But in the meantime, it could be that somebody else would take these folks on. For one time in my home for 8 months, I'm not encouraging anybody to do this, but one time for 8 solid months in our home, we had everybody that we've got now, all five of our kids, my mother-in-law, my wife's sister, and her husband, and Sherry Allwater, whose father had just died and had no place to go and had her in our home too. You see, how'd you do it? I have no idea how we did it. But with the grace of God, we got by. Now, folks, there are times we just got to make sacrifices. I'm not trying to tell you you're selfish. I'm not trying to tell you that you ought to break up. But I'm just telling you, folks, that sometimes, you know, we'll rest and we'll get comfortable when we get to heaven. You see what I'm saying? And we just need to do what we can right now, right here, while there's an opportunity. Now, I'm to the place now to where I'm already doing far more than I should be doing. Far more. I've got to back out of some of these things. It only looks like I'm getting things done now. You know, I mean, I'm getting them done through others. But it's getting to the place sometimes where I can't even remember what I'm supposed to be doing. I got it written down. But conflicts and things like that are coming up. Tremendous opportunities that God's opening up. And these are things that when I take some of these responsibilities on, I take them on for our church. And thank God for your help. But you know, it's getting to the place now where I've got the other pastors saturated. They're going through the same thing I'm going through. I was talking to Pastor Graham today. He says, you know, I used to come out of meetings with more work than I went into them. He said, praise the Lord. It's getting to the place now where I come out of a meeting, I got less work than I did when I went into it. I said, you're catching on, buddy. Now what you got to do is have less meetings. If you get to that point, you're really getting it. Okay? And that's right. Get to the place where you have fewer meetings, then you'll be okay. But what I'm saying, folks, I want to give you a burden. But we got to have some willing servants. Now, if you come to me and say, Pastor, is there anything I can do? Now, there are times when folks come and they, listen, I want some of you to keep reassuring me about this. I believe there are several of you here that if I were to call you up and say, look, I've been trying to fix the back door of my house now for 4 years. That's the truth. I just can't get to it. And it's an awful mess. And I'm so frustrated about it. And my dear wife is about to go berserk. You know, would you just come do that for me? You know, now I haven't done that and I probably won't. But at the same time, there are times when things like that would be a tremendous help. I would love to be able to come by and help you fix your door. You know, I mean, I'd love to come help you put your hay in, all those things I used to hear about preachers doing. But I'm telling you right now, I need some help getting some of my hay in, okay? But it's not just my hay, it's God's hay. And if you'll help me with it, I'll be careful, okay? I'm not saying if you'll take some of these things off of me, I'll go take some more. I'll be a little bit more, you know, wiser about taking some of these responsibilities on in the future. And maybe what I'll do is I'll go with some of you. We're working a little smarter. I'll help you open some doors instead of opening one and begging you to bail me out. What I'm telling you is there's some ministry opportunities, folks, and there's some things that are needed, but they're going to take long-term commitments. You may work for a solid year just to earn the credibility to take one of these ministries in the eyes of the people that I'm offering it to, okay? Or to the people you'd be working among. Now, I don't know a lot of people that have that kind of patience. Most folks want to get in a pulpit or behind some kind of a podium, and they want to dazzle the crowds, and they want to do it next week. I don't have any jobs like that. Okay, but I got some places where you can store up some great rewards in heaven and get a lot of headaches in the meantime. If that's what you want, I got plenty of them. Okay, and I'm looking for some folks to take some of them. So you see me, okay, and let me know. And if you do it, I'm going to take you seriously. Okay, and if I take you seriously and you let me down, I don't know what I'll do. Okay, I'll think of something mean. Okay, so take this thing seriously and pray about it, will you? Pray about it. Tremendous opportunities here for some people that mean business for God. Okay? Well, I've gone a lot longer than I intended to. Let's have a few moments of prayer together, and then we'll dismiss. Okay? Father, as we begin our prayer time, I pray that you give us just a few moments of quietness here. We search in our hearts to discover the things that you'd have us to be doing. Lord, I pray that you'd touch the hearts of some of your people. Lord, give us an answer for Benji. Oh, God, I pray that you'd help us to find a place where he could get in some kind of an apprenticeship. Lord, I know if somebody takes him on, it's not really at first going to be help to them. It's going to be more work for them. Well, Lord, certainly he's worth it. You've saved him and you've given him some abilities and you've given him a love for thee. Lord, help us to be able to nurture that and encourage him in it. Lord, I pray you'd open a door someplace for Marco, a place where we could put him just for the summer, where he could have the care and the love and the encouragement that he needs and give the Roberts a break to be able to regroup and get their construction, their home finished, and all the other things they're working on. And Lord, I pray you to give us somebody who could take this position here in the Human Relations Commission so I can step down from that. Lord, some balanced, mature person who can have wisdom and discernment and leadership skills that will influence our community, perhaps for years to come. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us some others who'd be willing to work with our police officers, not just in Greenville, but in some of the outlying communities as well. Lord, help us to open up some of these ministries and opportunities and to just take advantage of them. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to realize that when you give us gifts, you give us responsibilities to use those gifts. Unto whom much is given, of him shall much be required. So Lord, I pray that we would always have the discernment to know the difference between taking on more than we're capable of doing and taking advantage of opportunities that you give us. Lord, work in our lives that we might know these truths. And Lord, I pray you bless those that have special needs tonight. Be with those in the hospital and those that have other needs. I pray you be with the Duvalls tonight, with the new baby, and others, Lord, that have special requests tonight. And Lord, as we mention these requests that are on our hearts and share our prayer time now with each other, I pray that our hearts would be closely attuned to the leading of thy Spirit. In Jesus' name.